Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The fifth day of the special parliamentary sitting scheduled for today had been postponed indefinitely due to what the government deemed as a, quote, high-risk super-spreader gathering. Now, this comes amid calls for Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to resign following a rare public reprimand by the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong last week. The Perikatan National Government, however, continues to stand its ground even as MPs faced off riot police this morning. Let's speak now to a member of the Perikatan National Cabinet, who is also a member of the Prime Minister's party. Datuk Zuraida Kamarudin is the Minister of Housing and Local Government. She's a member of Parliament for Ampang and a Bersatu Supreme Council member. YB Zuraida, thank you for joining us today. There was a rally of 107 MPs at Dataran Merdeka this morning condemning the government's decision to suspend today's Dewan Rakyat sitting. Do you think the government was justified in suspending Parliament indefinitely, given that there were only 11 positive COVID-19 cases, which is less than 1% of the 1,183 samples that were taken?
All right. Melissa, I would like to correct you because the 11 reported as of Thursday, that's for Thursday's finding. But all in all, from the 26th as of Monday, we have collected a cumulative of 70 cases of positive variant, some of it are Delta variant, which is very, very dangerous and very notorious. And on 26th of July, where there was a briefing with the opposition leaders as well and the government, that the DG himself was present, and he said that we should not conduct the sitting because it's too dangerous and because of the cases which have detected, about 53 cases then. But then the opposition keep on pushing up for it, and I think the speaker so decided to carry on with the sitting. And there was also discussion at that time to see whether they should limit the number of MPs to be in there and the hours and time, simply because you know that this at this point in time, coronavirus, we do not know where is it coming from, is it airborne and that kind of thing. And even in the interior, in indoor space, it's even more dangerous.
Many parliaments around the world, even last year, effected a hybrid form in order to deal with precisely these scenarios. But the Malaysian Parliament, being held in abeyance for now 7 months,
has not even met this.
Compare
us the same with the other countries. They have their own regulation of doing things. They have their own way of thinking, and they have their own way of approaching COVID coronavirus. So therefore, in Malaysian context, we have done all the necessary that we have done, and we have evaluated in the Malaysian context. And this is the practice that we have done throughout this pandemic, where we assess the area scientifically, and we have the threshold where it's dangerous level and that kind of thing. Of course, different countries have different sort of level of assessment, so we cannot compare them. But all in all, if you're saying that the opposition today, when they have this perhimpunan trying to say that Kerajaan gagal, are you telling me the world is gagal? Is the world gagal? If they think they're so smart, then they should correct the world then. Don't talk about Malaysia.
Well, on the Bloomberg COVID resilience ranking, Malaysia is 52 out of 53.
They should read the statement and see what is the scientific aspect of the decision that we have to make in order to make sure that this COVID coronavirus does not become another cluster from the parliament. So therefore, with 70 cases, it's justified for us to lock down the parliament. And I'm very upset with the way the opposition are behaving. They were once, I can understand, because I came from the opposition bloc at that time, Reformasi and that kind of thing. And they've been in the government before this, and they know how it works. And you come back to become a position, you behave this way. If you behave this way, you can't even tell the truth. You can't even be professional about your job. You can't even justify the case. And I don't even see one of them ever ask or even call out to the people of Malaysia, come, let's do the vaccination. Let's go overcome this gagalkan coronavirus instead of gagalkan kerajaan. Then you should be doing all this. Then we fight together. Okay. It should be the mentality of this opposition. And you have been in the government before this. As long as they behave like this, they can't behave in the day one and trying to test their shouting power, there's no way that they can make the Malaysians in the country progress and more.
Okay. YB Zuraida, if I may pivot the conversation to the special parliamentary sitting, what we've seen in the past 4 days that we've sat, that Parliament, Dewan Rakyat has been allowed to sit. Can I ask you what your observations have been, whether you were present in Dewan Rakyat for the 4 days sitting, and what your observations have been?
I was on quarantine for close contact, okay? So I watched through TV, but I don't have the full, I was watching it online, okay? So what I saw is just a shouting match. There's not one single opposition leader stand up there to say that we've reviewed all the programs. We have reviewed all the...
Well, what were your observations then, YB? What were your observations about the PM?
Something, no?
Okay. All right. Now, what were your observations if you were watching? Where do you stand when it comes to the revocation of the emergency ordinances? Do you stand behind the Prime Minister's office statement? And do you believe that the Agong was wrong on the ordinance revocation?
I have the privilege to be in the cabinet, and I understand how the process that it goes. And it was done step by step, and it was done accordingly. And whatever is, it is a constitutional monarchy where you have to get the advice from the cabinet and the prime minister in anything that you want to do. But I was very upset. It should be always, if there's anything that they are not clear, they should always call the prime minister to office. And which prime minister did this every once a week before the cabinet to brief and what's happening. And that can be clarified.
YB Zoraida, are you saying the monarch was wrong? Are you saying the monarch was wrong in his interpretation of the constitution? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying they are not wrong, but the way that they have done, they're not.
You can't be both right.
They're not wrong. No, no.
The
no.
PM government and Takyudin cannot be right and the monarch right at the same time.
I will be misled if I don't say it properly. So let me say it properly, okay? So the ordinance is cannot be in order with the constitution. And the practice of how it's been conducted has been in accordance, where the prime minister meet up with the king and present to him. And the king supposedly to be listening to what is being recommended by the cabinet. Yeah. So then they have to listen to this, and we have to come to a discussion and engagement. And there shouldn't be any kind of a public statement which is, I think it's not that proper in this constitutional monarchy system.
So, Zoraida, you're saying that the monarch was not proper in expressing his feelings about what he felt was the misrepresentation made by the law minister in parliament, suggesting that he agreed to the revocation. Are you saying the monarch was misrepresenting the facts?
That is being presented by the Ministry of Law. If they would have listened carefully of what is being said word by word, he has said nothing wrong with regard to the ordinance. He said that the cabinet has revoked the ordinance on the 21st of July. That was the cabinet decision. Yeah, so there's nothing.
But the revocation doesn't go through without the monarch's agreement.
No, that ordinance you have to present to the monarch, and the monarch
revocation does not
agree.
Is not legal
the
until
day,
the monarch agrees.
If the legal advisor of the monarch is very much careful and in interpretation, he knows that if the monarch didn't agree, also in 30 days' time the thing will be resolved, or it will be taken 6 months down the road. So this is a very wasting time to argue on this, where we know that jolly well it will end up to something that it is up to the government, it's up to the cabinet to decide, and the monarch has to listen and if he need the clarification, we will clarify to him to his satisfaction. So that should be the way.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much,
Zoraida
Kamarudin. Minister, yes, we are. Thank you for your time. That was Minister of Housing and Local Government. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Malaysia's political crisis took another turn today as opposition MPs attempted to enter the Dewan Rakyat grounds but were turned away by heavy police presence and a blockade. 107 opposition MPs then marched to Dato' Merdeka in protest. Let's speak to one of the MPs who was there this morning. Yeo Bee Yin is the DAP Member of Parliament for Bakri. She's also the former Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change. YB Yeo, thank you so much for being on the show with us. Now, for the first time in a long time, we saw this morning a show of solidarity but among the main actors in the opposition at that gathering of MPs at Datang Merdeka. And this is particularly interesting because a divided opposition has been Perikatan Nasional's greatest strength. I'm wondering whether we saw the unity that we saw today will likely hold. And what do you think will be the glue that holds it together?
Yeah, I think we all come together with a very common purpose, that is that we would like the government to open the parliament for us to speak out for the people, because now it's pandemic. So I think 107 of us has come for a common goal. And of course, as a young MPs in Pakatan Harapan, I really hope that our big tent spirit that we have already announced, that we will really be big tent and get every opposition parties to come together. And I really hope that we can continue with this momentum, because it is not about us anymore. It is about us speaking out for the people. We cannot be just looking at our differences, but coming together and unite in one voice to speak for the benefits of the people and really to voice out for the people. That is why Parliament is very important for us to voice out.
Bian, can I ask you, I understand the police are going to investigate all the MPs. Have you been given an appointment with the police? Do you know what the questioning is going to be about?
No, not yet. So I have not heard anything from the police yet.
Right. Okay. Can I come to the parliamentary sitting, Bian? You were famously quoted as saying that you've waited 7 months to be able to speak for 5 minutes. And I'm wondering, I mean, you asked many questions of the vaccine minister, Khairi Jamaluddin. I'm wondering whether you got any answers to the questions
I asked about 13 questions. I got one answer, one question answered, and the other 12 are unanswered. Because it's actually really frustrating, the whole process, because you cannot speak, because actually we want to speak for most of those issues and our people, you know, there are many things that we have an idea and we would like to propose in policies, but end up because of the limited time, everyone wants to speak, so you can only have 5 minutes. Actually, I spend longer time to squeeze my speech than to write my speech. I write a very long speech, but I can only speak that. So I've asked about 12 to 13 questions. I only get one answer. And then I was very, very disappointed at the end of the minister's answer time, where Hannah actually stood up and said that we want to extend the time of the parliament, but the speakers did not allow it. And actually, I stood up as well, but because once you press the mic, and if the speakers actually mute your mic, your face can't even be seen in the TV, and you can't even be seen that you wanted to speak. Actually, at the end, I wanted to speak. I wanted my answer. I have asked so many questions that I prepared and put that in 5 minutes so that I can get an answer.
I do want to ask you though. Yeah. Typically, not all questions are answered orally, and they might come in writing. Do you expect your answers to come in writing to you?
So in a normal parliament session, you will expect that from the minister. That means, let's say if it is not answered, he will write in the hand and say, "Well, I will answer you in writing." So he will answer it in the parliament to say that they will answer in writing, and then a writing the answer in writing will come. But this one is a very different one. This one does not have a question and answer time. It is just a we must know that this is a taklimat session, yeah. So if the ministers, whether or not the ministers will answer me, is I do not know yet, because it's just a few days past the question, right. The session.
YBB, you brought up an interesting point about the mics being muted and the speaker's ability to control when an MP gets muted. And I'm wondering, as someone who's watching Parliament convene and watching this session, what is that like to have your mic muted as an MP wanting to debate and to raise and ask questions?
You know, I feel really frustrated this round, because you are muted by the limited time. You even when you have a chance to ask questions, you do not really have a chance to have an answer. And then you get muted. I feel that our democracy is really at one of its lowest points, where MPs, just even if you are in parliament, you are muted. And so that makes me really, really sad.
YB, where do you think this is going to go to next? Seems like the federal opposition has been checkmated. The ball is, or the levers of control are entirely with the executive. Even the monarch seems to have no influence or impact on the behavior of the executive. Where do you think it goes to next?
I think this is a transition. And I think people can see through. People can see how there is this abuse of power by the current government. And I am very confident with the Malaysian people that they will see it through, that the true color of the ruling government. And that I think while I am very, very disappointed with the current situation, I still hold very much hope that Malaysia will eventually come together to protect our own democracy, to protect our own voice in the parliament, and then we will come together to unite again for a longer prosperity and development of this country. But this is a transition time that I hope will be very short, and then we'll be able to see the light in the tunnel.
Have you heard have you heard anything about when Parliament will reconvene, whether this suspension of Parliament is an indefinite suspension?
So the Director General of Health saying that it will suspend for 2 weeks, and I'm not very sure whether we will have our last day of the Saklimat session in after 2 weeks from now. Or that we will actually go into September. We do not have notice yet. But suspending the parliament today is not done professionally. I think it is not for public health concern. I think maybe people have already known the statistics. It is actually out of 1,183 cases where 11 are detected positive, and they are not MPs. So, and MPs are 90% vaccinated. So I think this is done politically, that they would like to delay the sitting or not having a sitting at all.
Can I ask you one last quick question? Are you disappointed with the actions of the Director General of Health? He seems to have lent his name to this action.
Yeah. So I think the whole argument of why MOH bought the 2 week suspension, it does not hold water. One is because if you can see the PPV, the vaccination center, IDCC was closed for 2 days. And then after that, closed for a day, and after that, it can open again, right? So that was 200 over people tested positive. And then there are a lot of other factories. I can only say one thing. If MOH is showing that kind of proactiveness in controlling many other community cases and cluster, we will not reach this high number of cases. So they are really very, very, show very selective concern over the parliamentarian.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Bakri MP YB Yeobin. Let's take a quick break, but we'll be back with more in just a few minutes. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Hi, thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. However, if you've just joined the show tonight, we're discussing the events of recent days leading up to this morning, everything from the suspension of Parliament and the constitutionality of the way the emergency ordinances were revoked, to the fact that 107 opposition MPs were stopped from entering Parliament today and therefore marched to Dataran Merdeka in protest. We have on the line now Isna Raisa Munira Majlis. She's joining us now. She's the Warisan MP for Kota Belud. She's also the former Deputy Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change. YB Munira, thank you for joining us on the show. I understand that you were one of the 107 opposition MPs that marched March, Duterte and Merdeka, in protest of Parliament being suspended indefinitely. I'm wondering, what did you want to achieve by going into Parliament today, given that the government had called for a suspension of the Dewan Rakyat sitting?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I think today's shutting of Parliament is very disappointing indeed. And, you know, as a member of Parliament from Sabah, I've been waiting for this to demand and to question as many issues, especially the pandemic issues and the well-being of Sabahan. And I believe that we are all there to get our rights to get participate to debate. And I believe that Parliament should be the venue, you know, to find and formulate better and more effective ways and means to address the COVID as well as economy problems that is hitting all of us very hard today. We should fear more for the riot, not having food to eat, getting sick and dying. And I think what a lame excuse it is to use COVID-19 as to not convene the parliament session today.
YB Munira, could you help us understand a little bit about the position that Sabah representatives, you know, whether from Warisan or from the other political parties, especially political parties that are part of the current state government, Sabah seems to have or demands, some sort of autonomy in dealing with the pandemic, saying there are local conditions that the federal government and decision makers don't understand. Could you help us understand, get a better perspective of what is it that Sabah needs at this point in time?
You mean perhaps when we raise the need of decentralized or delegate authority? This is one of the examples in the administration of health and COVID-19 SOPs, not only to the state government, but also to local governments. And how has the COVID-19 pandemic demonstrated a need for this issue? So I think, first of all, If I can talk about this issue, this is one of the reasons why during Warisan-led government, we had our own Ministry of Health and People's Well-being, and it is not about taking over the whole health-related matters, but this is to delegate authority in the administration of health. It is so frustrating seeing our medical frontliners in Sabah not having enough budget to implement outreach programs. So these are one of many issues that I want to speak in the parliament. And especially like me from the interior, from Kota Belud and the rest of Sabah. And aside from that, there are many issues example for how many people should be, when we're doing the SOP for the whole nation. I think many of us have voice in the House that power right to formulate SOPs must be passed to the state government. I mean, this is one of the issues that we want to speak. And as well as I have, the Sabah being the lowest vaccination drive. That is one of many issues that I want to debate.
All right. You know, you raised many issues among those that you mentioned about the low rates of vaccination, the perhaps lack of supply and the need to decentralize, perhaps delegate authority when it comes to COVID-19 SOP measures. And I'm just wondering, you mentioned so many things, but there was so limited time to speak in Parliament, mention all the times that the mics were muted. What are the issues? I mean, do you feel like anyone was listening to you highlighting the issues that are happening on the ground in Sabah?
Actually, I consider myself as lucky to have the time to debate. I think that my turn was in Tuesday, I think, on Tuesday. And then, although it was during the Minister of Health's turn, but I try my very best to include everything that is, including, the PKRC in Kota Belud, as well as vaccine, because like my other friends in Warisan, they don't have the chance to to actually debate, and you know, having that very limited time of 5 to 7 minutes, I was actually struggling to, you know, voice everything, to point everything, all issues about Sabah, and us as Malaysian lah.
Nira, very quickly, how does the Sabah public view what is happening in Kuala Lumpur now in Parliament? What do they make of it?
Well, I think the Sabahan, like myself, we've been waiting for, you know, to have these issues mentioned in Parliament. Because I think my concern is that our facilities in Sabah are not as good as what you are having here in Semenanjung. So I don't think it's an apple to apple comparison, and it's very unfair. So to have to see that Kuala Lumpur is having very high cases daily, it also scares us as a Sabahan, you know, what we are lack of in terms of facilities. And I think that first thing first, we need to put this government in a stable scenario. Then only I think that we can solve all these problems.
Right. Thank you so much. That was Kota Belud MP Isnar Raisa Munira Majlis. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.
Good night.